This beginning of Channel 2 over, and the tape with Miss Chitty and Margaret. Frankie going on out to talk to Cookie. Beginning of Channel 2 over, and the tape with Miss Chitty and Margaret this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Beginning of Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the tape with the Chitties this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971.
And then I want to go down there and
appear
with
I tell you,
you all just have to put us on your map, on your route. We live a little ways from you, don't we?
Yes, not too far. Not too far. It's a nice place. Mm. I didn't realize that there was such a And to me, thank you. To me, this is nice. I like the outdoors. Of course, I don't have to tell anybody that I'm the country. I can open my mouth and they say, yeah, she comes from the country, I know. And then they look at me and say, yeah, what part of the country did you come from?
Well, she has just...
Oh, this is refreshing. What is Miss Hitty going to
She's going to have a bowl of ice cream. She has told me, yeah. When she's got a little time, I want her to tell you how she got to Florida. It's unbelievable. It's the cutest thing.
What do you think about the time she came from? She and Daddy came when they came up in the wagon.
Yeah,
from
we come
Orlando.
From Apopka down in Orlando.
Now tell me.
Apopka. And the butcher the hog, too, she said, after they got there. To where they're living now.
Now, what's that, Miss Jenny?
Yeah, tell
me. We come from, let me tell you how we got up here first. We come from Apopka, that's down there in Orange County.
Way down there.
Up here in a one-horse wagon. Up to my great uncle's place where we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
Got in there time enough to butcher a hog. Of course, she left on Tuesday. Right, it was on Friday when we got in. So that Friday evening, they turned in, butchered a hog, and we had fresh sausage, fresh, and they made the sausage, and we had spare it. Boy, it was good. Great
Came up
old long
stopped on the road at night. How many people would do things like that? It'd be a hardship on them to have
we
to travel.
We always found a place to sleep.
Well, that's what I mean, you stopped.
But what worried me most, what was going Little Billy do. That was the little red horse we drove, you know. I wonder how he was going to fare.
But he made it all right.
Yes, sir, and lived a good while after we come
well,
up.
Well, did your horse coming up here, you brought feed for him or just leave?
Yes, sir, we brought out a feed along for him, and then when we seen was running short, Frankie's going to get a little bit more than that. Had a cat and five little bigger than quail or partridge. Chicken size, you know, had five of those little chickens in a crate, a cat in a crate, and caught the dog. I reckon we'd put him in a crate too, but we couldn't get hold of him.
You mean, Mama, you left your dog down there all these years? Now, and I've just thought about it. 61 years. I just thought.
That's how long
I've Mama,
been.
How cruel can you. Mama.
Well, I told Eddie their dog had died, you see.
Were they still down there?
Well, sure, we're still living down there at Popka.
Well, that's all right. The dog was all right then.
Fine,
the dog was out from Popka. Got a big heart.
And I cried because I couldn't bring Pep along. But I said, Eddie, you take care of Pep for me. I said, I'll
take pictures
someday.
Like that. Did you all put.
But when we come from Georgia. When we came from Georgia down to Florida, we left there the 4th day of January, 1910, Boston, Georgia, and come on down. And the conductor, he got us on the wrong train, put us off on the wrong train. We had to go clear down to Kissimmee.
Why did he do that?
He was drunk.
Oh!
Because him and his crew was to change, and we was to have a new crew on the train. Come on. We was changed trains in Jacksonville for Apopka, Florida. Well, it wherever it went, but we were to get off in Apopka. But we didn't get off till we got to, we had change in Valdosta. Like over here, we got off the train over here and we had to walk clear across the town to get on the Southern train coastline, you know, all the way around. And it went around, I think, must have went way back up yonder somewhere and back then, in Georgia somewhere, and then trying to come back. I don't know, it was around this crookest trip. And we got off in Kissimmee. Then we had to catch what they called a Midland, short line now from Kissimmee back to Apopka. And that's the way we landed in Apopka. Then about maybe 2 hours before sundown,
thank
we got
long
them
like
days and time. People had hacks and surreys, you know, in the wagon to carry people out. They didn't have a regular taxi cab or anything like that. So we had to get a horse, or a mule, mostly horse, and carried us out about 2 miles, I reckon. No, mile and a half, I reckon. Out from Popsicle where this old lady lived that we come to bring back to Florida. Oh, got everything cleaned up around there. And then she wanted, I'm cutting corners now. Then she wanted.
Don't you hurt her, don't you cut the corners. I want to hear about it.
Well, in the first place,
we cleaned up the whole place. And the man that, Sam Mason Stew, that's who it was, had the key to her house. Well, they hadn't. She wrote them, told them about what time we'd be there. They didn't come out and didn't bring the key. So my father had to knock the window stick, you know, go across this way. Didn't have no rollers or anything like that. Had to stick across that corner, down to this corner of the bottom of the top window. He had to shake so he'd get that out. And then I was the only one that could really crawl through the wind racing.
You were little.
Pull through there. And I looked on and I says, Papa, I says, it's dark in here. He said, oh, well, you ain't scared. He said, ain't nothing gonna bother you. And I wasn't scared enough. I just wanted a little dark in there. And the house smelled musky. What hadn't been used in 3 years.
Yeah.
She hadn't been in 3 years. So I went on and tried both the doors, front door and back door. I says, well, they're both locked. Aunt Jenny says, well, this is the lady we brought back to Florida. You know. She says, well, that door ought to be barred and the front one locked. I says, well, this one's barred. I've taken the bar off of it, and it still won't open. So we had then taken, he come in. He said, if I got him taking the bar off, the back door opened up. I said, Bobby, it won't open. You're going to have to come through the hole, too. So he got in then. We had to find an old-timey chest. Oh, it was about that big around. Lamp, you know? She took around by the hammer and way back out of great, great, great grandma's lamp, you know?
Yeah.
And he happened to have matches in his pocket. He didn't smoke, but he happened to have matches in his pocket. He'd shake it. Shake. There's a light, you know? And a baby enough light. We can see how to open one of these doors. And on each side of the front door, there's a little glass panel about like that. Maybe as long as, say about this wide, about as long as the table's wide.
Yeah.
I said, bet these things ain't been cleaned in 40 years, Papa. He says, I doubt it.
Yeah.
And I reached down, got hold of some old something there, and I began to rub on them, you know, so we could get enough light, and let's see what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
He turned around, he found that lamp. That's where it is. He said, well, here's a show lamp. I'm seeking light. And it began to spit and sputter, you know.
You didn't want to come to Florida anyway.
No, Mama didn't
want
to come.
Well, if you had found more folks.
Mama didn't want to come. And I reckon if the other kids had realized what it was before we got here, they wouldn't have wanted to come either. There's just something about that train ride.
Well, now, what did you do with that old house down there?
The house that we went to when we...
Are you talking about? Got,
well, we kept working around. The man the next day come out and brought the key. We had to go in and out the window. That's the way, way it was. And then he should say, Ed, I declare to goodness, if you knew how to get around here, he says, I'd send you over to Sam Mason's stewards and get that key. He says, Aunt Jenny, he says, I've gone just as far as I can go on this deal. Now, I've brought you here. I've got you out here. And we can't get in and out only through the window. She says, well. So he goes back in and gets a chair and he brings it out. I get outside and I hold it so she can climb up in that chair. And Mama, she had to go through. The rest of them had to go through. And my youngest sister was a baby, you know. Got Rosalie and then had her to get over on that side and hold the baby. She says, Mama says, this bed's too nice for me to put sister down on. Well, the beds are dusty, you know. Mama taking, turned it back. She says, well, it's dusty all the way through, honey. 3 years of dust. So we stayed there and got the place. This old man come out and brought the key where we could open up the doors and go in and out like people, you know. Got everything cleaned up, straightened up around there.
By the time you got it in order, you ready to kick you out.
Got everything, and the wisteria vine, that's how come she started.
Yeah.
It had that whole place. It had grown up, Ms. Miles, up on the porch. And it was about to pull the top in.
Goodness.
And we cleaned that thing out all around. Papa worked in the daytime. Picking oranges, pulling orange trees or something. And at night he'd come in, if I was in one over him. Me and him would work with that vine. Well, me and Mom would work with it in the daytime. Finally got it cleaned up, that place was looking neat and clean. And another thing, too, it was cool enough that she'd have to have that. Well, we could have stood it all right there. Rosalie and myself, we'd go way out in the woods with a crocus bag, and we'd drag and tote lighter. A lot of people say light wood, lighter, smutty or clean, just a notch, you know. Mm-hmm. We took them back to the house to have that old soul, bless her old heart, a fire to go to bed by. And she didn't want none in, it was a stack chimney, you know, fireplace, yeah, and one in her. And she didn't want no fireplace, no fire built in this fireplace. She wanted in her room. And I had brass enough, no, Rosalie told her that one day. She says, well, Aunt Jenny, she says, me and my sister, we go and took this wood up. She says, I think we ought to have fire wherever we want it.
Oh, you don't want to share.
All right, you know what I mean? I'm going to tell your pappy on you. I ain't got no pappy. I got a father. And don't you call him pappy either. I had to get over Rosalie. I said, oh, don't hold that man. And Mama says, what? What's the matter? I said, oh, engineers, I said, Mark, Rosalie about telling her that we told the wood in we ought to have a fire if we wanted one. Told Rosalie, she said, I'll tell you, Pappy. And I said, Rosalie says, I ain't got no Pappy.
How old was you then?
I was, how old was my? I know, we moved away from that.
Well,
place.
You were born in 1892.
Moved away from there on my 19th birthday.
So you were 18
at the time, yes. Into town.
18, because she was 22 when you married one.
Not quite.
Married in October.
Did you marry down there?
Yes, down in
about 2 years.
You see, we moved from there. Now, here's what was. She got mad with me because I don't know just exactly what was she wanted me to do, but Mama had told me to do something else. Well, I thought Mama needed obeying first. I said, well, Aunt Jenny, Mama said, I'm on so-and-so, and if you can't do what I'm on, then you can get out of here. She grabbed hold of me, you know, I'm going to push
me. See, no relation of Mama's and Polish now, but she's just a good friend, and they were going to do something good for her. Then she kicked them out when
just hard to get along with.
If I had to fell out, she'd have went with me. But it's lucky I grabbed to the post on the porch, you know. And as I went around, I grabbed her and brought her back up on the porch. Get down in here. Mama, she come out. She says, "Why, Jenny says, what in the world am I with you?" And Aunt Jenny made another lunge at me. We called Aunt Jenny. She says, "Aunt Jenny says, what's the matter?" She said, "I want this gal that out from here." Mama says, "Well, now listen," says, "and if you go talking about putting my children out, you can just count on me and Ed Dixon getting out, too." She says, "'Cause when I go, Ed's going." "I bet he won't," she says. Mama says, "All right, just try me and see." So he come in, everything was going on like pie, but when he come up, Papa knew something had gone wrong.
Yeah.
He could tell from the way we all acted, but everything was going on, no fussing, no quarreling, everything. Got Mama off to one end. "Well, honey, what's the matter? Something going on?" She broke down, went to cry, and says, "Yes, I think Jenny tried to push Aunt Pearl out of the house and ordered her and Rosalie out. Told them to get out and work." Says, if they ain't been working here, I don't know who's been working. Papa told her, "Well, Aunt Jenny," says, "I hear you ordered my children out." Says, "And whenever you order my children out, you ordered my wife and me." Says, "We'll be trying to get out from here by the last of the week." "Oh, Ed, I didn't mean nothing." He says, "Hey, Jenny," he says, "I've been looking for this for a long time." Says, your two sisters, old maids at that, told me, says, "You won't stay with Jenny long." Says, "She'll be done pushed you out." So Papa got busy and got a house over in that edge of the little town, Popka. In the old part of the town, too. Well, we moved over there on my 18th and 19th birthday, I believe it was. I don't know.
Well, how in the world did you all happen to come up here? Did you have kinfolks or something?
Well, the reason we got up here, my husband's great.
Yeah, great, because he's about ours. He's a great uncle, Martin.
Anyway, Frank's uncle and little Frank's great that's it, had lost his wife and his wife's sister and her daughter, son-in-law, and three or four kids were there, but they're just about to push him out of the house and home, much less put him in a grave and the expenses of his wife. Barrel and doctor bill and all, you know.
Now that's your husband's uncle?
Great uncle.
Great uncle.
Yes.
And he'd lost his wife?
Yes. He lost his wife in September, and we come up here the 15th day of November, fall 1950.
He was supposed to be given the place to Mom and Daddy, but the unruly people in Flemington, so-called relatives, daughter, as a matter of fact, wasn't it? They didn't care enough about her daddy to come and see about him.
Mm-hmm.
So when Mom and Daddy came up, they take no, you know, and they were supposed to have been given the place. Daddy had to turn right around because of a lot of the, distant and close people, for that matter, buy their stuff back.
Well,
right.
One thing, too, see, when Aunt Lizzie died, Uncle Martin was so deep down in debt for buying foods, buying things for her people.
Oh, yeah.
While they were here, hanging over her and her dying. And when she passed out, well, that was her funeral expense. That was her doctor bill.
Mm.
And, so when we got up here, of course, Frank had a little bit of money. And he banked down and went a garden, banked down, and he moved from that up Popka, moved from my Popka to Macintosh.
And then after that, the bank went broke, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. But Uncle Martin got, your daddy paid a loan to Uncle Martin. I think it was $1,000 to get kind of straight with the doctors and funeral. And then people kept hanging on, and finally Uncle Martin told his sister, and I says, Maggie, he says, I think it's high time you all was getting out from here now. Says, I'm having to borrow money to buy.
He was a good man. I remember he was like 29 years old when he'd been dead.
I can't.
48.
He says, I can't afford to keep you all up and look for Frank to help me get out of debt. So they went down, down where you remember not. I guess it was tore down now. A big old two-story building.
I'll be back just now.
Yeah, on the road going down towards Irving, and up there where Mr. Bill Hutchins was living.
Yes, and see, kind of like
the Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Bates lived there, and run a little store and market, and across from over there. Back out from Ms. Hudgens' mother's house, the old turnpike still was. We're back down towards the corner. You're my little house that used to stand the corner there, across from the store.
Yes.
Well, this old two-story building was up there, and I don't know where it's the one they claim they call the Flemington Inn. Yeah,
it even had a stagecoach go through down there.
You know, we know so little about Florida. But it's so interesting to. It really is interesting to hear. An old stagecoach went by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just look at it if you've never been there. It's just the one store there now. I tell people all the time. You ever
heard of three?
Seems like you always build it up, you know, being so well. Always be careful. You don't want to run through it.
It
be through it for you know.
Yeah.
There was four stores besides the inn.
Four at Flemington.
Yes. And, where they had, where it was a Methodist church they had down there and moved it to Shiloh. And the dad's at Shiloh and moved. I don't know what I had such a mess about. But anyway, all these buildings, except, you see, there was you remember two of them stores.
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
At Flemington. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But anyway, you all, that's what got you to this part of the country.
Yes, ma'am, coming up to take care of my husband's great uncle.
And she couldn't have come in. Now I know him. I can remember him because he was, I was about 5 years old when he died.
Mm-hmm.
What year did he die?
22.
I mean,
Frankie was born 22. And when Frankie was born, he was as much like Uncle Martin as if he was Uncle Martin's younger.
Is that right?
And Frankie was 48.
You see, he died in December, 3 months to the day that Frankie was born.
And I always I make Frankie the 25th, and Mom always, 26, 1926. But his mother was born 26, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, let me see. That was 17.
Well, it always interests me why people come to Florida. You know, of course, there's various reasons, but I guess it's the orange groves that really, and the weather.
That I was reading a piece of paper.
And this great uncle of mine during that freeze that killed out the groves.
Yes.
The snow here that year, Martin said he liked to froze. He had a big grove, but it all got killed out except one or two trees around the house. And one of them happened to be a sour orange or bittersweet, like you call it. And then there was an orange tree right at the north end.
Big tangerine tree, just like of all tangerines.
North end of the house. It had, I reckon, all the time it had bore in about half a dozen at a time. About a dozen. I reckon.
That tangerine tree has just died since It's as it say is, boy.
When we first came to this place, there were two marvelous tangerine trees right there by the side of the house, and they were tall enough to come up to the second story window where we had a bedroom, and you could reach out the window and get your morning tangerine. My mother thought that was the most wonderful thing about Florida. She could just have get her fruit by just
Rita said she could give a personal testimony.
That's right. But several years ago, we had a freeze and they were killed.
It's terrible to think that. I think one thing is.
Well, yes, several years ago,
uh-huh.
We had three camphor trees, and up to nine, they're all dead. Well, here's the porch. There's one right here. Here's the step. One right here. One over here. And one back here, kind of. On the end. And the cold that year. Kind of nipped all the trees. Nipped all the camphor trees, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Frank had cut this one hit the steps off a little more because it seemed where it didn't want to knock these others back. It protected them. So this year, they are all killed. Ned cut all. I reckon
they'll all be cut out. We miss those shades, too.
Yeah.
Because they are pretty. And our porch there, Mama's porch, right? I say mine. It's been such, so many people come there, but it's over the years, see, the house has been built there now, 26 years, I guess. Ours, isn't it?
What's your house?
No, ma'am. Yours. So some of the houses are probably over 100 years old.
You mean the one we're living
yes,
in now?
Well, 20.
We tore the old packing house down and changed it. It was sitting east and west, so we turned around north and south and made another house. I have it in 46.
Oh, that's after your big house burned.
Yes, sir. We built the one we're living in now.
Gorgeous people coming in now.
We built the one we're living in now during the time the boys were in service. Coach Martin's and Monroe's money helped pay for it, and Frank is discharge money.
Yeah.
Help pay for the stuff that we didn't use of the old building. And that was put up in 46. No, 45. Because Lord come home in 46.
But it's been 26 years.
Well, no.
Take it back.
I want a thing. But I like said, that well, thing back. It's 40, when did
you, yeah,
42, 43, 44,
it's 46, 40,
yeah, it was 45 that was good because they come home in 46.
Well, sir, now you see, your husband died before I ever got down here. I don't guess, now who is, his name was Frank. Yeah. Frank, his name for him.
Yes.
Now, he had a brother, Jim.
Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not
yes.
Too much about chocolate or cocoa.
There were three brothers
like
of them and two sisters. One another. Uncle Ed. Uncle Ed died. Uncle Ed Chitty. I say there's three, the Chitty boys and two sisters. Right? Alice, Mamie.
Now,
Mamie,
I hear him talking about Uncle Jim. He'd take them fishing.
Yes.
Is that right?
He's been dead, yes, sir. He was 92 when he died, and he still would go fishing.
Is that
and
right?
Him and Martin was counting on going fishing the same day that he
was stricken with this bleeding stroke. So Martin and him just moved in one of the new homes, and not, well, I say just, that was in May, 19th of May to be exact, and they had just moved in the home in February before that, and Uncle Jim was going, and he'd caught a big fish, and he loved the fish, and of course didn't have any teeth. And the bigger the fish, the better he enjoyed it, of course. And he went up to Martin's, and he couldn't stand the fly, you know. He'd go anywhere and see a fly, and he said, Martin says, hand me that fly swat, and I'll get that fly. Kids, you know, keep it over there. As he turned to get the fly swatter, he fell. And they had rushed him to Italy, and Martin's wife held him while Martin drove to the hospital in Gainesville.
He fished all in there. There was some place I heard them talking. I forget who was talking about that. He'd take them fishing back in there. Sort of a swampy place, prairie place.
Uh-huh. Plantation, I imagine.
Plantation?
That's right.
Now, what's that?
It's just a big pond. I don't know how it came by this name.
It's just a big pond.
There's just many plantations around it, so they call it Plantation, I imagine.
Yes, that's
right. A big pond.
We grew up fishing around that pond.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir, we did.
And it's a big one?
Yes, it's a pretty good size. People, it's been neglected after the fish got so much better and other people taking over, you know, taking the land over.
Uh-huh.
Renting it or leasing it or something, and they began to keep people from going in there. Well, naturally, when people were forbidden to go in there, it grew up, you know. And then they put more fences around it, and people all the time, rather than climb fences, oh, well, Mary, let's go back. We can't fish here. And I don't know who said that, but anyway, But that's possibly the way a lot of it's happened. And we lost interest, too, because we don't like to go where we're forbidden.
Yeah.
We're not people to tread where we're not supposed to.
Well, you know, Mr. Burns bought the place. Who had it before Mr. Burns did?
I don't know. No. It had been for, not for my time, but I don't remember. I don't know how many people handled it.
Parish.
And those people with Burns or whatever. They used to have it.
Anyway, Burns owned it. So these people has got it now.
McLaughlin down at Fairfield bought it, and then some more people.
He bought at it. He didn't.
I don't know how in the world he got by.
But your Uncle Jimmy fished in it.
He used to walk. He used to be a little.
Well, we walked from the place at that foundation. Time and again.
He used to walk
from your house?
Railroad.
Yes, from our house to plantation. If I had $100 to the time I walked there and back, well, that had me a mansion.
Did you ever catch any fish?
Yes, sir. Bring them home, woman. Strain, you get tired, took them this way, you get your stick, hang it back on where the fish wouldn't see you. Oh,
we walked many a time. We kid, well, my husband and I, we walked fishing many a time.
And not getting
where
the
we're living now.
Drove the wagon over
here. My husband and I
used to hitch the horse up to the wagon and go over there. That's when we carried out a little, meal and grease and salt, you know, in a frying pan.
Yeah.
Old grits pot, coffee pot. Get down, catch enough to go to eat, and some of them would be over that edge of the water scraping grease. Some of the frying, cooking.
Water
some
give out and
catching.
Take a boat and go way out in the middle of the water to get water, extra water. And if my daughter knew it now, well, what am I talking about? I didn't, wouldn't want to drink it either. But I did, and did the same thing about it. You better.
Well, you just go down there and spend the day.
Yes, we've got up lots of times. Go over there and be pretty early, you know. Get over there and catch some nice fish, turn around and clean them, cook them, fish some more, and have them home.
We spent,
for
I think we were growing up now.
And have it home for supper.
But I always said if I ever grew up and married and had children, I would not. That's one thing I can remember. That I didn't like it growing up. We'd go fishing, and that's, we all had little jobs that we had to do when we get home. But my poor daddy and my poor mama, bless their hearts, they love fish so well.
Yeah.
They'd stay right there, and that Betty Ann, our daughter, is going to be the same way. She won't stay as long as she can see the cork bobbing, you know. And this grandma's that way, too. If the fish are biting, Mom, we better go. We better go. My husband was able to work out, you know, and we'd get our work done. That's the first thing, we'd get all of our work done. To the pond we'd go, we'd walk about, I imagine about 3 miles with Mama during the time.
Yeah.
Carry our dinner over there and stay all day long. And
say
get back home and cook dinner for supper.
Yeah.
But we'd get over there and Daddy, and another thing, Daddy would be disgusted with us. We can see it now as that. Well, we don't see it that way now, but we did then. He'd get over there and we was having a lot of fun. And Daddy'd say, you know, I should have stayed home today. We said, why, Dad? I could be plowing, I could be hoeing the garden, I could be doing something. Well, that's just like throwing water on, you know.
Yeah.
Because we wasn't enjoying it. Daddy wasn't enjoying it. And we'd a lot of time walk to the pond, or either ride in the wagon, something like that. We carried many delicious meals to the pond.
Oh, man.
And cooked, like Mama said, we'd cook. We'd prepare a meal and carry it over there. It was like eating out, you know.
Well, now, that's hard to check the girls, see? You miss that.
Okay.
Just spending the day over there in the pond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a many good time, though, go over there. And I don't mind. I've walked to many a place. I don't mind walking.
Oh, it's nice.
It's nice. It does good, but I don't never have any. I can't afford to get out and walk anywhere now. I don't never have anything I can't dress up. I don't get out and go. I used to walk. You don't know anything about where around where we live, but the land, you know. But I used to, we lived on a place by a neighbor. This has been 30 years ago now. And I'd walk down and spend the day with Mom and Daddy. And if he had fries, and he wasn't going to kill them chickens, so he'd give me a chicken, fry. I'd walk home, kill that chicken home. I wouldn't let my husband kill a chicken either. When we'd move from that place, we'd move chickens from here 40 miles across into another county. And then bring them right back. You know, they said, don't you cook that chicken? No, sir. Why didn't you? I said, Daddy, I didn't let that chicken kill. Now I fry, you know, give me the care home and cook the supper. And but now how many people are you going to see unless you're just a bunch of them, you know, get out to walk now. Most people have to ride.
You won't kill a chicken now.
No, sir. If you did, if I kill anything by accident, unless it's a snake, I used to take my husband's rifle and kill him. And I take an axe.
Snake.
Yeah. Oh yeah, snakes and things. I wouldn't kill them. And I'd take the rifle and the axe. I get close. If I was afraid the snake would fall on me, chop that snake right into it. And he'd come in the night, cut wood. Dear, what's happened to my axe? Have you been using it? I said, yeah, I killed a snake with it. You know, get it down the dirt. And that, you ever use axe enough to know that it's you can't just chop anything with them and expect them to work good for you. You don't know the end, you know. And it's like using, I guess, the razors. But down about those days of, I guess it's poor people.
Yeah.
We've had a good time.
Yes, sir.
I consider it a good time. I've always been old-fashioned and like the common things in life. And, it's 25 or 5 moments.
Miss Kitty, don't you all?
Miss Kitty going to church tonight and milk and feed all them cows before he goes. He better be getting on the road.
Yeah. He'll holler at you when he gets ready, won't he?
Maybe so.
Yes. You see, this time, first time I've ever heard your mama talk. I knew she talked.
You can't very well get
She knew a lot of things, but see, I hadn't heard her talk about it.
You had never heard Willie say how long mama talked?
He talks about his pappy more, and his pappy beating him, Ms. Kitty.
We didn't have no pappy.
you mean to say Willie Kitty told you his daddy whipped him?
He was once or twice, but mostly he got the work done. His daddy.
Willie was the only one done it, huh? Is that it?
No, his daddy, Mr. Frank, could get work out of them boys. Is that right?
He get on, didn't he? Get that switch on. But Frank, I really always worked around.
He was a good worker. All the boys were.
They
were good workers. They did
what he thought was his quarter. Is that what you call it? Quarter?
Yeah.
Part of what he was supposed to
do. The work he was supposed to do.
His portion, you know. And then if Martin didn't do his, get around help him out.
Anytime you come over here, you do anything you want to, anytime you want to. You get up and run around. You don't have to. I just love to hear you talk so much.
And
I don't know a thing about your family, you know. I just perfect ignorant.
Martin,
can imagine.
We get out and knock around.
He got a pretty good bit of whippings.
Yeah.
He didn't get so much whippings, but his daddy gave him good tongue lashing.
Yeah.
He just didn't have the whippings to have the lashing with the tongue.
Oh, he could
the goody boy.
Talk to him. He could, huh?
He could do the work. Willie do the work, and he was good at anything daddy put into him. Now, but you know, you have brothers. Do you have brothers?
I have half sisters.
Oh, you were the only. I can just imagine you were four.
Only one in that first litter.
Oh. But I was
I brought up in a big family.
I was going to say that where there's more than one, naturally, there's going to be somebody that likes one job better than the other.
Yeah.
And Will and Frankie like the job different from Munro and Martin. Now, Martin and Munro like to butcher hogs and work in canes, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
But now, Frankie and Willie, they'd rather go to the back side of the field hoe.
Is that right? Is that right?
That's
kind of where they was.
Yeah.
And Frankie too.
If I hold one patch of cotton I have hold no telling how many. Oh, man.
The Willie's good, like I said, they're all good workers. Anything they do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being a self-praiser of my brothers, but they're all good.
But
Willie all four fine boys, too.
Willie and Frankie didn't like hog killing.
No.
The syrup making. But that Martin and Monroe, you didn't put up in. If it was necessary,
well,
they'd go right on.
Mr. Frank could really pin their ears back. Is that right?
No, sir.
I thought that's what you said.
No, sir, he wasn't any rougher on one versus the other.
I'm not talking about roughness. I'm talking about talking. He could,
Oh, he would die. What do you mean by talking?
I thought you said he could get them told.
By
well, no, what she meant was a tongue lashing, just, you know, instead of using the switch.
Yes.
You see, she
that's
he talked
why he used on Willie more
you know.
Than you did a switch. But
that tongue lashing works better with some than others, huh?
That's right. It's like the job that you pick. And,
yes.
Mama used to, if I done anything I need the little needling for, take my hand and hold it and rub it. Make me look right straight at her.
Yeah.
She'd say, now, let me tell you something, honey. Says, that's not right. You mustn't do that. Didn't you know it was wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, Mama. What do you think you need a whipping for? I don't know. Well, now let me tell you. Look at me. Don't look off at John. Look at me. And, that looking at her and listening at her talk was just like she did me last week.
Yeah.
Mom, please don't whip me.
And where
Mama
used to work me over the same way, too.
Yeah.
But she'd sing some sad song.
Oh, she'd work you over like that.
Well, you know, would sing some kind of song.
Yeah.
Some sad church song or something, and that'd get me worse than anything.
Now, what's that, Miss Jenny?
What about her?
Yeah.
What was the name of the song?
I don't know, Mom. Several songs. She'd sing songs, and then,
I see you reading Y'all Don't Visit More. You all just stay at home there and have a club and entertain each other.
I wish we could entertain and have a club, and not with a bang, but just
you know, I'm wondering how your family was, how you came from, where people visited when you were growing up.
Oh, we visited.
Okay.
We did too.
Oh,
we
went
growing up.
One state a week.
Without being cross to one another or fussing about something.
Let me tell you. Here, the children out here, let's go out there and talk to them. Faye, we coming out there and talk, visit with the children a little bit.
Okay.
Aren't we? Don't you think that'd be nice?
She's going to take
them out and get some horses.
Well, we go out and get some horses.
David, I don't know whether they're going to bring the coats up or not.
Well, it don't matter. I mean, the children out there, let's go out there and
let's
visit.
Let's go out there and visit outside a little bit.
The Mid-City doesn't want to
sit there. We've enjoyed it.
I just love to hear him talk.
Oh, I think it's, you know, Miss Kitty, I didn't miss my mother, so you got to come over here and help me out.
Are they going to do some petting outside at home?
Oh, they can spare you for a few. Channel 2 over, around 600 in the end of the visit with Ms. Chitty and Margaret on this side and Frankie on Channel 2 right. This Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. This is 600, Channel 2 over, around 600, and the end of the visit with Frankie, when his mama and Margaret, this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Channel 2 over, Ms. Chitty and Margaret, mostly Ms. Chitty, and Channel 2 right, Frankie. Both memorable tapes this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971.